Okay, good evening YouTube and happy Easter to everybody tuning in. Happy Easter if you are celebrating Easter. Eating a lot of chocolate today, aren't we? Lot of chocolate, lot of egg hunting going on. It's been good fun, isn't it?
I'm going to eat some more chocolate when
I'm definitely going to eat some more chocolate, yeah. Mm. I'm in a real, like, I've had a lot of beer, I've had a lot of chocolate, we've had a little barbecue, first barbecue of the summer.
Yeah, well done. Well done, Dad.
Well done, Grandad. Yes, well done, Grandad, because it's brilliant. We've had a great day today and I'm looking forward to even more chocolate. After this, it's going to be great.
Oh, definitely. I'm going to eat a whole leg after this. I'm just warning you.
A whole what?
A whole egg.
A whole egg? I thought you said a whole leg. I was like, crap, bloody hell. A whole leg, yeah. You're going to have a whole Easter egg after this.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful.
A whole egg.
And not only has it been beautiful from an Easter perspective, but what a beautiful couple of football matches we've had in the FA Cup. A couple of really good matches, particularly that game yesterday. How good was Liverpool-Man City yesterday? Another good game between these two.
It was a good game.
Is that the last time we've seen these two come head-to-head this season? I suspect not. I hope not, because it'll mean we'll actually get to the Champions League final.
Would you want them against you in the Champions
League? Well, no, I don't want to play them ever again, because they're really good. They're a really good team. Listen, they didn't have, Ederson, they didn't have Diaz, they didn't have De Bruyne, they didn't have... Who else did they not play yesterday? There was a few they didn't play. Rodri, I don't think. I think Laporte. So we're missing a few. Obviously, the goalie as well. And yeah, they still managed to put up a hell of a fight, particularly in that second half. But how good were Liverpool that first half? How good were we?
But what about Salah? When's he going
to
score?
Well, this is a question we possibly need to address.
When is he going to score?
Well,
put a date on it, please. When's he coming back?
I don't know, because genuinely, you can say, well, you know, City played well, they nullified him, etc., etc. But, you know, I looked at that City starting lineup in the FA Cup and I thought, okay, well, he's on the side with Zinchenko and Ake are playing. If he's going to get any joy, if he's going to break this duck, seems like that might be a good time to break the duck in terms of him not scoring from open play, which he hasn't done now for some time, but looked a little bit ineffective again. And I have to say, the main man on the other side has come to the fore. And I have some thoughts about Sadio Mane, which I might share a bit later on. But no, you should not be turning your face up, Sam. You should not be turning your nose up like that, because the way that Klopp has managed these players means that Sadio is looking kind of fresh and kind of good.
It's like being given a fruit and nut chocolate bar.
What? Listen, you should not be turning your nose up on Sadio Mane right now.
One that you get with Salah.
You may well turn your nose up, and I've done that a lot this season in terms of the Salah versus Mane thing, and I've been the first to criticise Mane this season and last, no doubt about it. But right now, the guy's in really good form, and I think that's because Klopp is really rotating that team and managing it, and he looks really good. And I got asked on Twitter.
He had a bit of an injury, though, didn't he? Was ice
ice on his foot, didn't he, at the end of the game? So does that rule him out for the United game? I suspect it probably does. Maybe Jota comes in on the left, I suspect, but we'll see. We'll see.
Or
indeed Diaz, because, of course, now you've got options there. Klopp's got options there. But I got asked a few times on Twitter whether moving from Salah to Mane is potentially the right thing to do for the running. And I have to say, for the first time in a long time, my textbook and default answer hasn't been no. You should consider it. You should consider it. The main man, Mo Salah, looking right off it at the minute, right off it. And then we already have to know Chelsea versus Crystal Palace. Not quite such a good game as Liverpool versus Man United, but Chelsea struggled to break teams down that sit. Crystal Palace did a real digging in job, didn't they? Sat back, and I wonder with Chelsea, and we have a look at their fixtures going forward, because I might have this wrong. The guys in the chat will tell me, or you might be able to tell me, they have a double game week now, next week.
Yeah. So
that's confirmed, isn't it?
Yeah, so the Premier League put out a statement on, I want to say it was Thursday.
Yeah.
Saying,
I couldn't get my head around it, that statement. There were so many combinations and permutations.
Well,
I can't break it down.
Both of these teams were supposed to double in 37, Palace and
Chelsea. Yeah.
And of course, the FA Cup final is there. So they were basically saying, whichever one of these two wins, here's the two permutations. And the permutation for Chelsea was that the game against Manchester United, which was scheduled for game week 37, would be moved.
Okay.
And so Manchester United will now blank in game week 37.
Right.
They will double with Chelsea now.
So that Chelsea Man U fixture has moved from 37 to 34. So next game week 34.
Yes.
Man United and Chelsea both double.
Yes.
Interesting. Okay, interesting. Particularly in the context of Chelsea's broader running in the fixtures, because the fixtures don't look too bad. And we'll have a look a bit later on, guys, at the fixture ticker, the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker. I think if you sort it by difficulty, Chelsea are right up there at the minute.
Yeah, they're right up there. It's interesting because actually I was sort of hoping from an FPL point of view that it might be the other way around, because actually that would have given Aston Villa a really nice double game week in 35, which felt really nice. And I was thinking, a double game week that contains Norwich and Palace was really nice. But yeah, it's Chelsea that go through, so it's the Chelsea game that is then affected. And obviously that has an impact on Manchester United now. Yeah. Some people, if you invested in Manchester United as an investment for the double game week this time around, then obviously you're already set and you're ready to go. But if you free-hitted them in, which is what a lot of people did this week, then you're going to have to think about whether you want to go with more Manchester United players again.
Yeah, yeah. And we've had a couple more. We've had a few of these this season, but we've had a couple more this week.
Just going to fidget.
50-50 calls. We've been saying that. I'm pretty sure when we do our end of game week 38 stream and we have a bit of a season review, this is going to come up a lot. I think we're going to go back through this season and pick out quite a few 50-50 calls.
Yeah.
For example, those that were free hitting, and there were a few of you I know, if you were free hitting in game week 33 this week, let us know in the comments below or let us know in the live chat how your free hit is going, because there was a lot of people going for free hit, but not a lot of people going double Manchester United. There wasn't a lot of Bruno Fernandes. And by the way, we have to now distinguish between Bruno Fernandes and the other Bruno, because there are now two Brunos.
Well, it's Bruno and Bruno G, isn't it?
It's Bruno F and Bruno G. So there was a lot of people looking at the free hit, but saying, do I want Bruno F and Ronaldo? I'm going to pick one of the two. And at the moment, I appreciate they've got another game to go. They have against Liverpool. Of course. But that is looking of, you know, you're either on one side or the other there.
Well, yeah, and I can, you know, for a lot of people that were free hitting, there was that key decision came with, do you want to go with Kane in this week?
Yeah, if you stick with Kane, you probably have Bruno.
That probably made you go Bruno rather than Ronaldo, and that call has obviously cost you a lot of points this week. So yes, it's just one of those, one of those 50-50 decisions that could have gone the other way and didn't. Will there be as many points against Liverpool? I doubt it.
It wasn't the only 50-50 call, though. Imagine you went Cornet over Weghorst, because many did. Many did. Cornet missing the penalty and Weghorst getting the goal. I mean, that is that's a big swing. A big swing.
Yeah. I mean, there was me getting Fraser the other week. Should have gone Bruno G, shouldn't I?
Should have. Well, listen.
But
I
think there's been so many 50-50 calls all season, hasn't there? That you just have to kind of go, well, if it goes your way, you take it, and you think, oh, I've done the right thing there, well done me. And if it doesn't, you just have to go, right, well, that's not worked, and now let's move on, because you can't dwell on these things, can you? 50-50 calls could either have gone the other way, and as you've already mentioned, a lot of these 50-50 call teams, the likes of Cornet, will have another game to come.
Of course.
So not the end of the world necessarily. Yeah. Yet.
And Van City Blues is in the chat. He's saying, yeah, Captain Ronaldo, big smiley face, big smiley face. If you free hit this week and you Captain Ronaldo, fair play. I've put it in there on the graphic and I love the little poses. That pose is kind of classic, typical Ronaldo, isn't it? I've noticed the poppy on his shirt, by the way. So that's from last November. I don't know what he did back in November, but he obviously scored a couple of goals back then as well. That's not from this weekend. But still, what a performance, you know, proper flat track bully performance from Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Three good goals. I mean, the first one was a bit of a gift, wasn't it? Alanga kind of robbed, was it Ben Gibson dwelling on the ball when he sort of put it on a plate for Ronaldo? And then the third one, there was a little bit of a deflection. So, but listen, you take him. And now he's got the next game to come against Liverpool. Who
Can't
knows
see a lot
what's
in that
gonna
one,
happen,
but,
right? Well, know. who knows? But if you didn't have, maybe you didn't have Ronaldo, you didn't have Bruno F, maybe, like our friend Az from Fantasy Football Scout, you have Bruno Guimarães from Newcastle, who, out of nowhere, now if Az was here, he would say, well, hold on a minute, this guy was starting looking like a decent player.
If Az was here, Az would say, thanks to Neil from FF Scout, because it was Neil on Friday, I think, that made him do it.
Yeah, but the Newcastle fans, and I think Neil is one of those, isn't he?
Yeah, he is, yeah.
They've all been saying it. You know, a lot of the Newcastle fans have been saying, you know, look out for this guy. How has he gone under the radar? And, as is the exception, who bought him in and, by the way, captained him, which was an incredible shout.
Well, I don't think he has.
But
gone
a lot
under
of us kind of missed that double there.
But, you know, I don't think he has necessarily gone under the radar. You know, we've been talking about Newcastle for a while, and annoyingly, I do think that if Fraser was available this week, he'd have actually done quite well.
Possibly.
So it is a bit of a frustrating one, that. But I think there was a lot of people that were kind of looking at this game week and thinking about who to target. There was a lot of attractive options. And Bruno G, we haven't... Well, actually, both Brunos this statement applies to. We haven't seen a lot from them in recent weeks. So it was a bit of a punty thing based upon the fact that they had a double game week. Now, with the Newcastle Bruno, it was much easier punt to make because obviously significantly cheaper than the Manchester United Bruno. However, I can see why not a lot of people looked... I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't even look at him.
Well, to be honest, yeah. I mean, I've obviously looked at Newcastle, looked at those fixtures,
course,
and I bought in a Newcastle player. I happened to bring in Chris Wood this week and captained him, which is not going so well so far. But listen,
another game to come.
Another game to go. In fact, the less I talk about my game week so far, the better, quite frankly. We'll talk about that a bit later on, because it's just been, as I'm sure a lot of you guys have, by the way. In fact, I know a lot of you guys have, and a lot of the community have, and
it's
a lot of the
game
have, because
again,
I'm having an absolute... It's a torrid, horrible game week, but my arrow is not that... It's bad, but it's not tragic.
Oh, really?
So it's like, well, I'm about 20k down, and if I look at my team, I've got twos and ones, and I've got Chris Wood captain. It's all gone to absolute rap.
Could have been worse. I mean, your captain could have blanked in the 12:30 kickoff, and you have to go the whole week.
Possibly. Yeah, possibly. Yeah, well, we've got to talk about your boys a bit later on, because that was an interesting performance. A very good performance from Brighton,
I
must
add. That's why I hate the 12:30s. That's why I always say never captain anyone in the 12:30, but I was really unsure about who else to captain, and I thought, right, I'll just... go with it now.
Sure, yeah, sure. But listen, the Bruno Guimaraes, you know, he looks a player. He looks a player. For me, in my head, I've seen him and read about him in other leagues. And the two kind of things that jumped out for me that made me not consider him was played a bit more of a DM, played a bit more defensive midfield. And I appreciate and I get that he hasn't necessarily been playing that role for Newcastle, so
no.
I get that. But not a prolific goal scorer by any stretch of the imagination at previous clubs. Probably because he was playing in DM, and now he's playing in a slightly different position. Maybe he's found a bit of a taste for goals. Let's see. But suddenly on the radar. Suddenly on the radar. Burst onto the scene.
Well, would you? Yes, but is he really on the radar?
Or do you go there now? Have you missed?
That's
have we
mean.
Missed the boat?
I mean,
maybe.
And it's,
maybe
you go in there before the double, aren't you? I don't think you go in there now that the double game week's passed. I think now you're starting to look ahead to the next double, and you're thinking about probably Chelsea.
Yes.
And then you'll be looking ahead to the next double, and you'll be, you know, so it's all of that stuff, isn't it? That you kind of, yes, you can. Of course, you can go there now. But have you missed the boat? Because, you know, is he likely to brace again in the upcoming weeks? Well, maybe he might, but might be too late to...
Yeah.
Might be a little bit bandwagon-y.
I noticed, actually, even in that game, wasn't kind of dominating the BPS either. I don't know if you noticed that. I was kind of tracking the bonus points and who was going to get them as he went through the game. Now, of course, he gets the second goal. I think gets all three bonus points. I'm pretty sure that he did in that game. But even after he scored the first goal, he wasn't kind of bossing...
No, wasn't Schmeichel getting more?
Was it, I think so. So it wasn't like his sort of underlying play was, you know, Kevin De Bruyne. I can't compare him to Kevin De Bruyne. That's a terrible thing to say. But you know what I mean? He wasn't like, you know, wasn't like great pass completion, you know, key passes, crosses. There was none of that kind of stuff that went with the underlying BPS. So in a way, you know, I'm not going to say it's lucky to get the three bonus points or the two goals, but... Yeah, you're right. Am I now looking at him going, oh, two goals, this kid, got to get on him? I'm not really. I'm not looking at him thinking, well, if you got him, fair play, and as quality shout, absolutely brilliant. But I'm not now thinking, oh, must react to that and get him in. I'm thinking, I probably missed that one, and you have to let it go and say well done to those that had him.
Yeah.
I think so.
That's how I feel.
I think so. Potentially, I feel a bit about Chris Wood, but never mind.
Yeah, but you've got Chris Wood now.
I've got Chris Wood
He's
now.
He's your version of Veghorst.
Well, yeah.
Stuck now.
I'm stuck with
you're
him.
You're stuck in a wood trap.
And they've got Norwich next, so it's not like you're going to take him out
in a
either.
Woodshed,
that's
aren't you, basically.
In a woodshed. You're probably right. Yeah, you're probably right.
You're not taking him out against Norwich.
No, absolutely not. No. So we've got FPL Gazza is in. How are we doing, Gazza? Nice to see you. Presumably in a good mood after that Newcastle fixture. Scott Schrager, the OG, is in. He says, got to take your chances to get ahead of the template. Great job, Az. Yes, he did. Listen, fair play, Az. Absolutely great shout. Absolutely great shout. And to not just bring it in, but captain him as well. I mean, the ball's on that fella.
I said
serious.
in my Insta stuff on Saturday morning, though. You're right. You're slowly dying in the corner.
No, I've got a bit of a cough. I've had a negative test, so I'm fine. But I've got a feeling a bit under the weather again.
What is up with you?
I don't know.
Stop going on stag do's.
I keep going on stag do's and I keep coming back with colds. Yeah, bad, isn't it? I will stop going on stag do's now. Yes,
yeah,
I will
but
stop.
You're still going to go away again, aren't you, in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I'm going away a couple of weeks. Yes, I am.
Absolute nightmare.
Yes, I am, yeah. Actually, away for the FA Cup final. So where I'm going in the south of France, they better be showing. I've got, it's a work thing. We've got loads of activities planned. I don't care what we're doing. I'm watching the FA Cup.
What made me laugh about this is that, so we watched the, we'll get back to what we're talking about in a minute, but we watched obviously the Chelsea game with my parents today. My dad and my brother, as you all know, diehard Chelsea fans. And then my brother went, when is the final? And I went, oh, May the whatever, 14th. And Chris went, I'm still on my honeymoon.
Yeah.
So he's in the Zambia.
He's away.
He's in Zambia on his honeymoon trying to work out where he's going to watch it. You're in wherever you're going.
Yeah.
Trying to work out where you're going to watch it. I'll just be at home with the kids watching it.
Yeah. Well, I'm in Monaco, so I've got more of a chance than he has in Zambia. Let's face it. We'll see.
Well, you're probably on a yacht.
Whatever I'm doing, I'm watching the cup final. No doubt
chance.
About it.
You got no chance. You got to be on a yacht in the middle of the ocean.
Josh is in. He's saying, missing the cup final with a mind blown emoji.
Honestly,
Josh, it won't happen.
Stop,
I will find a way.
He's got to stop going away, hasn't he, Josh?
I will find
stop
a way.
Stop abandoning his wife.
We've got all sorts of people in today. Paul Cook is in. How are we doing? Had Wood and St. Maximin up front with Kane. Not a good forward
line
this
forward.
Week. So far, Paul.
But they've got time.
So far. You
well,
never
not
know.
Kane.
You never
the
know.
Other two have got time.
Who else we got? Simon Cowell's Trousers, member of the stream, member
Hello,
of the FPL family channel. Cy Burdett is in. How are we doing, mate? The Smiths, Azzy is in. Smiths 1986, how are we doing? I like his passion for Newcastle, even though we shouldn't talk about Bruno. Well, I don't know how many times we're going to use this talk about Bruno thing, but we kind of have to talk about him a little bit. I mean, God, what a performance that was to get those two goals. Not diving header at the end, absolutely sensational. FPL Shorts is here, Eddie Casey, Van City Blues, who I mentioned before, FPL A Plus, and a whole host of you guys in this evening, guys. So thank you very much for joining us. If you're new to the stream, make sure you hit that subscribe button so that you know when we're live every single week. It's 8:30 here on a Sunday most evenings. And if you're enjoying the stream, hit that like button. Hit that like button, as I usually ask. So let's get into the game, Sam, and let's talk about the game. So we are only halfway, and thank goodness we're only halfway, given how my team is performing so far this game.
When's the next
game
week? Tuesday?
It's Tuesday, which is the Liverpool game. Liverpool-Manchester United on Tuesday. Where do you want to start with these fixtures? Again, let's not go one by one. But
Band-Aid.
I do...
Let's just do it. Let's take the Band-Aid off.
I think we do need to talk about Spurs as a topic, because we are all quite heavily invested in Spurs.
We are.
What happened? And what I want to do before we go into that is just look at...
We just had a bad day at the office, I think is the reality.
Here are the fixtures according to the fixture difficulty rating ticker that I mentioned before, courtesy of the Fantasy Football Scout website. If you're not a member of FF Scout, you can, of course, click on the links below. You can become a member in there. Have a look at the members area and the season ticker with all the fixtures in it, which you can see here is part of your... You get that as part of your membership, and you can chop and change if you don't agree with some of the difficulty ratings that the scout team put here in the ticker. You can change them yourself and customize it. It's really, really good. But Spurs, all of a sudden, let's have a look at the fixtures. So Spurs fixtures still right up there with Brentford, Leicester before the double, which is a tricky looking double away at Anfield, and then that crunch game against Arsenal, who, by the way, can't get a win for Toffee themselves at the minute, and then Burnley and Norwich. So for me, those fixtures scream don't panic. But how did you feel coming out of that game against Brighton?
No, don't panic. I mean, I think I had a few thoughts. My primary thought was, I hate it when we play at 12:30. We're never good at 12:30. We're always sluggish. We're never quite on it. And that's the problem. And I also think it was a bad week at Spurs generally, because obviously Conte had COVID, so wasn't allowed on site for most of the week. Did some sort of distance coaching, but that's never ideal. It's not good build up. But those are excuses. The reality of the matter is we weren't on it on Saturday. All of the boys were lethargic. They were frustrated. But I think in part that was because Brighton did a really good job.
I'm glad you said that, because on commentary it was all about, oh, Spurs haven't done this, Spurs haven't done that on BT Sport. And no, I was like, well, hold on a minute,
Brighton did
played
a really,
very well there.
They did a really good job of nullifying the way that Spurs play, which is something that a lot of teams don't do. A lot of teams come to Spurs and they try to play their own football. And if you come to Spurs and try and play your own football, unless you are a really, really good side, that will give Spurs masses of opportunities to get in behind, which is what we really like to do.
Yes.
Now, Brighton didn't do that. They came, they were solid in their defensive unit, with the guys in midfield working incredibly hard, without really a proper striker on the pitch. They had McAllister playing up there for the first half.
I know they won 1-0, and I know Trossard gets a goal. Okay, so this is not going to make a lot of sense, but Brighton half look blunt, Brighton. I do genuinely feel that the rest of the team is all right. They've got some decent Cucurella Lamptey. They've got some decent attacking options in those wide positions. But to go into that game with McAllister up front,
they need a striker.
And then to sort of, you know, chop in with Welbeck. And I noticed an interesting stat about Welbeck, by the way, just as we were coming on to the stream. Had a look in the scout members area. Actually, Welbeck was top for aerial duels this game week. In this whole game week. And he only played 45 minutes. He was top with 11 aerial duels won. The next best, by the way, was Ben Davis, who played in that same game. And then Ben White for Arsenal. So what does that tell you? That tells you that they went far more direct in that second half, Brighton. They just tried to find Welbeck rather than try and play through Spurs. Yeah. And it seemed to work to a degree.
They did a good job. They played very well. I think the other thing I would say about that game is that you could see the frustration in Spurs, particularly in Kulusevski, who was lucky to stay on the pitch.
Oh, that should have been a red, shouldn't it?
Probably. But then equally, Mwepu should have also been sent off. Quite possibly. I mean, it could have had two red cards in the first half, is the honest truth of the matter. And I think...
Not a shock in a Craig Pawson game, let's be honest.
No, but the reality is they were both... The Kulusevski one, I watched back and I was like, we have had a problem here, but for some reason was fine on just a yellow. And then the Mwepu one, I mean, there were so many times that I thought, oh, he's going to go now. Yeah. I was going to...
The second foul on Højbjerg is a second yellow.
There was nothing that terrible from him. It's not like he did a really awful tackle.
No, it was consistent, though.
But it was just consistently bad tackles. And I was thinking one of these is going to result in a red, but it never did. Look, it was a bad day at the office. But from an FPL perspective, there is definitely not any need to panic. I think, you know, for the majority of the Spurs fixtures that we have coming up, the teams that we're going to face will allow us to play football. Like, you will not... when we play Liverpool, when we play Arsenal, you will not change your style of play to combat us. You will come, or we will come, when Arsenal come to play the North London Derby, we will want to play our style of football, they will want to play theirs, and that will lead to a good game. What happened with Brighton is they worked out how to nullify us, and when they did get a chance, they took it.
Yeah. So, I said before, I think, on these streams, that if you can be an organised defence... And by defence, I mean midfield and defence. If you can be organised enough, you can nullify that Spurs team. And if you get in and around Kane, you don't give him time. And particularly in that first half,
Brighton... But it wasn't really Kane that they were in and around. It was Son.
Yeah, for sure.
They did such a good job nullifying Son. Because Kane was still putting those balls across. And Kulusevski was still sort of getting into the right places. But he was having a good old battle down that side with Cucurella. So you had to be careful with him because obviously he was on a yellow card from quite early on and you could see the frustration, which is why he took him off and put Lucas Moura on, who actually I thought played quite well when he came on. But Son, they played him out of the game. And as soon as you play Son out of the game, it massively affects the way that Spurs attack. So Kane was still dropping deep, getting the balls, putting them into the right places. But there was always a Brighton defender there to deal with that. And Sam was basically doubled up on the whole game.
Yeah.
So don't panic. If you have Kane, if you have Son, if you have Kulusevski, if you have a Spurs defender, although I'm not sure that many will have a Spurs defender right now because of the Doherty injury.
But yeah.
Certainly with those front three, don't panic.
Okay.
I'm sure it'll be back to goal-scoring ways next time. Okay. Conte won't allow it.
All right. Very good. But for sure... Kulusevski, lucky boy, because there was intent in that elbow. He flung it round, and Cucurella, well, I say to his credit, it didn't actually touch him, did it? But if it had touched him, he'd have every right to go down.
Ridiculous.
Well, which is stupid, right? Because whether it touches him or not, the intent's there, so it's a red. But I think
he would have got sent off had he landed it. It's just the fact it never landed that didn't get him sent off, I think.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, let's not panic on Spurs assets then because of the fixtures coming up and the doubles looking okay. Perhaps then we should be having a bit more of a panic on Arsenal assets because, again, another bad result for Arsenal. It's back-to-back defeats now at Brighton.
They've got a tough game in the
Southampton.
Next one too, Chelsea.
Yeah, I think that's worth highlighting, actually. Let's just have a quick look at the Arsenal assets. The fixtures coming up. Manchester United. You say Chelsea?
In the double.
In the double.
They've got the second part of the double, haven't they, to play this week against Chelsea.
Oh, okay. This double. Yes, of course. Yeah. So they've still got that game to play in game week 33.
Yeah.
Which we're currently in. But then in 34, it's United at home. Then it's away at West Ham. They've got a double against Leeds and Spurs. And they finish up with Newcastle and Everton. So right slap bang in the middle of the fixture ticker there. There's some difficult games to call there. and they're really not in form. I didn't genuinely think that... I knew Thomas Partey would be a miss for them. I knew Kieran Tierney would be a miss for them. But can we just keep reeling out that rhetoric? Or is there something right, Arsenal? What's going on?
As players, super important. But most importantly, as leaders. So that's the leader in their defence and the leader in their midfield.
You think Tierney's the leader in defence?
I do. Who else is?
Ben White? No? You think it's Tierney?
I don't think it's Ben White. All right. I think Tierney's...
It's not a bad shout.
I think Tierney's the one that's out there commanding what's happening. I think he's the important... I think Ben White is a good defender, don't get me wrong. But I think it's Tierney that's the vocal person in that defence.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's Partey in the middle. So you take away the leaders across the pitch. And what are you left with? You're left with a bunch of really quality players. There's no doubt about that. But they're young. They're young kids who are learning still about their trade. And they've got themselves into a position now where I think they thought that they were in the hunt, weren't they? But they were at the lead of the pack for fourth.
Now they're still in the hunt.
But now they're chasing.
Yeah.
Now they're chasing. And they're chasing without the leadership on the pitch. And Lacazette's not there. So you've not got a leader up top. You've lost Partey, you've lost Tierney, and suddenly you're...
Some key characters
gone. Yeah, and now they will be back. Well, Lacazette will presumably be back at some point if it's COVID-related. And I'm not sure about Partey, but obviously Tierney's out for the rest of the season.
Do you think this sort of... This bipolar Arsenal then is a... Do you think it is just that the average age of the squad? Do you think it's a confidence thing? Do you think when they're on a high and they're playing great, bang, they're in their full flow and they're off and they're great? But they get a couple of difficult results or a couple of teams dig in, they lose a couple of leaders, and all of a sudden...
Maybe, I mean...
They're just not quite in that confidence has gone a little bit, isn't it? That swagger.
I mean, look at the squad depth that they have there, because, you know, they've lost Tierney, and then they had such a problem in the back that they've ended up having to play... I mean, they didn't this time around, but the last game week, they ended up having to play Saka back there. Now, that's not an ideal situation to be
Xhaka
in.
Xhaka or Saka?
Saka.
Oh, I thought they put Granit Xhaka there.
Well, they did this week, didn't they? But so in game week 32, they put Saka back at left back, which didn't really work because that completely blunted their attack.
Okay.
So they don't have necessarily the backup that you would really want. I mean, if like Tavares is the thing, then, you know, it's not ideal, is it?
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I don't think that there's...
I don't rate him as a defender,
I'm afraid. No, I'm afraid I don't either. And then they've not bought a new striker. So Aubameyang's out. Then Lacazette's got COVID. So now it's like, well, who are we playing up front?
Well, it was Eddie Nketiah, wasn't it? But again, youth.
Young.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But Eddie Nketiah hasn't exactly got minutes under his belt to have the experience to drag a team from behind against an experienced Southampton team who can dig in. And I said to somebody... Somebody was going, they're going to get smashed, Southampton. I went, they will not. They've been smashed once. Every time they get smashed,
they
come back strong. It's always the same. They got smashed against us, they come back strong. They get smashed against Leicester, they come back strong.
Yeah.
They always do this every season. And they got done by Chelsea last week, and that all hurt. They've bounced back this week, which is what they do.
Okay.
I don't think there's any need to massively panic. However, there are a couple of positions now where I think you could make a change. So for me...
Well, before you do that, take a breath a second. I'll just reel out a couple of stats, again, from the Fantasy Football Scout members area, because it's not for the lack of trying, from what I can see from Arsenal, according to the stats, right? And okay, I didn't watch this game, so you guys can tell us in the live chat, tell us in the comments what you think about, you know, if you actually watched the game. But the underlying stats for Arsenal... Not too bad. Saka was joint third so far this game week for chances, for shots, I should say. Sorry, shots. Joint with Pukki and with Guimaraes.
Pukki.
And then chances created, both Ødegaard and Saka joint second with four chances created. And if you look at some of the passing stats, you've got Sambi Lokonga with the most passes so far this game week. And then you've got Gabriel in there as well. And there was one other stat I saw, touches in the opponent's half, second so far this game week after Bruno Fernandes, is Granit Xhaka. So Arsenal saw plenty of the ball, created chances, Saka at least got some shots away.
I mean, the SofaScore map was a lot of Arsenal.
What happened here? So from an FPL perspective, are you now a bit more concerned about the likes of Saka. I mean, we've all got Saka, right? A lot of FPL managers have got Saka. What's your view of him now?
I'm not too worried about Saka at the moment.
Are you not? Because there are some options now all of a sudden.
There are, but equally, I mean, I think the other thing to say here is, as I mentioned, they have got another game to play this game week. So
sure, we should
write
them off.
I do want to see what happens against Chelsea. They also do have another double game week coming up in the future. So, but I don't think Saka is one to massively panic on. I think if anyone's going to get points at Arsenal, it's likely to be Saka. He's the one that's kind of always involved.
Interestingly, FPL Bateman, John Cahill, a few of the guys in the live chat, thank you guys for the comments. They're saying Forster had an absolute stormer for the Saints. He had a stormer. It looks like he picked up, what, 6 saves, 2 bonus points. So, yeah, you're right. I didn't see this game, but that's going to contribute, right?
Keeper had a stormer. Yeah. But at the other end of the pitch, talking about goalkeepers, Ramsdale, I think, is starting to become a keeper you can get rid of.
Mm.
I mean, I'm looking at him now thinking, I've got 2 goalkeepers. I've played my bench boost, so I don't need 2 playing goalkeepers necessarily, or certainly not so expensive ones. I could easily have Foster in there instead. And I'm looking at Ramsdale thinking, how many clean sheets do I actually see you getting now? Because the defence hasn't been as good. It's been penetrated a number of times since Partey and Tierney have been absent, because you don't have that protection from the midfield and you're missing a key defender. If you're not going to keep clean sheets, then I'm relying on you to be picking up extra bonus points and save points.
But which you could rely on earlier in the season.
We could rely on earlier in the season, but we're not seeing that.
I did see a stat on Twitter, actually, as I was just sort of scrolling last night, and I did come across this on Ramsdale, and I'm going to get this wrong, guys, so somebody can correct me in here, but I did see a stat, something about how many goals Ramsdale has conceded from shots on target, and it was something like, and I've got the figures wrong, but it was something like, he's conceded 6 goals from the last 8 shots Arsenal have conceded on target. It's probably not quite as bad as that, but it was enough of a stat to make me sit up and think, well, hold on a minute. You know, this guy isn't making quite the saves that we thought. Or maybe Arsenal are not doing what they were doing really well earlier on in the season, which is reducing the opposition to low XG chances so that Ramsdale could make those saves. And I don't want to go back to this, but, you know, I think we're going to find out a lot about Ramsdale and Arsenal in the next few weeks. Because if you remember, I was not a big fan of Ramsdale, and I'm still not, to be honest with you. I still don't think he's a very good goalkeeper. And at the time in FPL, he was the bonus points and he was the saves for the cameras. And we all loved him in FPL because he was getting 9 pointers every week. Now that Arsenal are not keeping the clean sheets, is he going to be the goalkeeper that gets them back on track? I'm not sure that he is. And I think it's a bit of a luxury transfer to move him onto another keeper. But it's a conversation to have in FPL, I think.
Last season, when Liverpool had key injuries across their team and, you know, they were missing Van Dijk, we all had conversations about Trent and about Robbo in particular and whether it was worth owning them because they weren't consistently keeping the clean sheet. And
yes,
there comes a point with a defender and particularly with a goalkeeper where that purple patch that they had seems to be disappearing, but at the same time that's happening, they've got some problems in terms of injuries, and I don't trust that Arsenal defence at the moment.
No.
And therefore, if we don't trust the defence, how often
you don't
will
want
I...
the keeper in FPL if you don't trust the defence?
How often would Simples. I want to play Ramsdale? Now, yeah. I think I look at my team and think, well, actually, I'd rather play Dubravka most weeks, who's my other goalkeeper. So why don't I take Ramsdale down instead, free up that money because that's the plan, spread it around a bit. I think Ramsdale is sellable.
Yeah, okay. And Saka, you're holding on to. You feel a little bit better about Saka.
Well, it's the same with Salah, though, isn't it, right?
Because there's a lot of people in the live chat talking about Saka to Mount as a move for next week.
Which is understandable, isn't it?
Mount,
to Havertz. There's a lot to like about that move. But the underlying stats, a bit like Salah's, actually look okay. So I'm going to be watching the Arsenal midweek game with real interest, but also watching the Liverpool midweek game with real interest, because there are a couple of players out there, that Saka and Salah, prime examples, where the underlying stats look good.
Mm.
But what we're seeing isn't returns in FPL. And
so
I'm going to be watching and seeing what happens in midweek, because there does need to be a conscious move towards Chelsea, I think, this week.
Yeah. There's definitely options now for Saka. I think a player that was kind of locked in our teams a couple of weeks ago, all of a sudden you've got a Mason Mount, you've got a... Oh, and actually, Diogo Jota's a bit more money, isn't he? But you've got a Kulusevski if you wanted to go there. You know, there are options now in that midfield. If Bruno Guimarães, maybe, if you feel like you haven't, you know, if you think we're wrong, and I personally think we probably missed the boat a little bit on Bruno, but maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he'll have a really great end
but
of the season.
But also, just a little shout out to Aston Villa, who are about to get a double-double coming up in 36-37. So, and they've got Norwich in 35. So I don't think you want to invest in Aston Villa for 34, but you do. That midfield spot could be quite a useful one come game week 35.
Yeah, a little Phil Coutinho back in, or Jacob Ramsey if you want to go. There's options for Saka now. There's options, right? Okay, well, let's move away from North London then, and let's talk about, in fact, let me have a look at the fixtures, and that'll give us some fear. I mean, we've spoken about Chelsea on and off. I think we'll continue to do that. Leicester are next on the ticket. Now, let's look at how Leicester got on. Obviously, they lost 2-1 to Newcastle, to Bruno Guimarães earlier today. What did you think of Leicester's performance? Now, no start for Harvey Barnes, and no start for Madison today.
Second time in a row Harvey Barnes has been benched.
True, yes, that's an absolute fact. But I wonder whether now they are starting to look at their season. Because certainly that game, in fact, let me go back to this screen so you can look at the stats. There we go. The game for me, certainly from a, not so much from a Newcastle perspective, but from a Leicester perspective, it did feel a bit end of season, that game.
Well, that's not what they're interested in, is it?
Have they now got their sights firmly set on Europe? And are they now looking at their Premier League games? And, well, Rodgers' team selection suggests that that's true, doesn't it? The fact he's dropped his, arguably, his two best players.
Yep.
I've got Madison, but that's it. You've got Barnes, but that's it.
Yeah.
Thoughts on those two in terms of going forward? I mean, their fixtures look okay, but if they're going to be rotated... Well, I think we knew this, right? It's a fact. We know they're going to be rotated around Europe. But they do have a lot of fixtures still to play and some good ones in between. So, I must admit, I'm not panicking, but I'm a bit worried.
But let's not be blinded by this fixture thing. Like, we've had this before.
Yeah, I know.
Players with good fixtures, yes, absolutely you want to invest in. But you also need to be invested in. It's the same every single year. You need to invest in the teams that have got something to play for. Leicester, jack all to play for in the Premier League.
Yeah.
They're not going to... But they can still make Europe in the league because they've got so many games in hand. But it's highly unlikely that they're going to make Europe in the Premier League. They would still need a lot of other teams above them to drop a lot of points. So, unlikely, their best route for European football next season is to win the Europa Conference League.
Yeah.
And therefore, where are they going to play their strongest team? In Europe. Now, they've also got to play, because they've got through in Europe, twice a week, every week, till the end of the season.
Mm.
You're not going to see Madison get 90 minutes twice a week.
Might you see Dewsbury Hall, though, a bit more often in the Premier League, potentially?
Yes.
Although he's looking like a key player for them all of a sudden, isn't he?
It's going to be Lookman and people like that that you're going to see a lot in the Premier League, isn't it? Is the reality. The defence, I think, is impossible to pick because they're just going to rotate in and out because they don't have enough. They're all coming back from injury, a lot of them as well. So, but in the midfield, I think you could sort of look at Lookman. Dakar and Iheanacho are swapping around, so maybe it's Dakar in the league and it's Iheanacho. But Vardy is due back at some point in the next couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah.
So we might see a bit more rotation there because we still have to protect him a little bit.
I think they're a hold, but not. They're not a buy or a sell, I don't think. I couldn't bring myself to sell Madison at the minute.
Interestingly,
I'm not sure I'd bring him in.
I'm more likely to sell Harvey Barnes than I am Saka.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think
interesting,
so.
Okay. Just because Saka and Arsenal have got something to play for.
Yeah, and because, you know, so yes, Madison and Barnes have got one additional double game week on Arsenal, but I'm not convinced that they're going to get, I mean, what did they get today? About half an hour?
Mm.
I think Madison got about 30 minutes, and Barnes got about 25 minutes or something. I don't can't remember.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I remember Madison coming on with half hour to go.
This is the second week in a row. So I was sort of thinking, I'd be all right for Barnes today because he got a rest in the Premier League in 32. He played not a lot of minutes, just came on for a little bit at the end. So I thought he would play this one. Now, maybe he does start in midweek, but they're not prioritising the league. That is absolutely abundantly clear. And those are the teams that I don't want to be invested in, regardless of how many games they have. I don't want to be invested in a team that is not prioritising the league and that isn't putting in full effort.
Okay. All right, let's move on from Leicester then. Let's talk about Manchester United. So, of course, they've got the Liverpool game still to come, but the flat track bullies that they are, kind of squashed Norwich 3-2. I was going to say plucky Norwich, and the pookie party was in full swing. We haven't had a pookie party for a while, but goal and assist for the Finn.
He's doing all right the last few weeks.
He's doing all right. He's doing all right. But Ronaldo coming in with 85 BPS this week, which is unreal, by the way. Three goals, two assists for Alanga, one for Tellez. So if you did happen to go with Ronaldo on the free hit, or even if you bought him in for whatever reason this week, and if you captained him, fair play. And what? Let's just touch on the fact that...
Five returns in six for Pookie.
Five returns in six? Oh, he's got more form than I thought then.
He's doing really well at the minute.
He's doing all right then. And he's doing okay.
What is he? 5.9 million.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll talk about him in a second because you've stopped me in full flow talking about Mr. Ronaldo. But Manchester United's fixtures, let's just find them on this ticker. Where are they, Manchester United? They've got to be near the top because the double game
I don't know if they're... that might not have updated for the game week 34 yet, though.
Well, it has, I think, because you've got Arsenal and Chelsea there for Manchester United game week 34. There's the blank in 37 that you mentioned before. So it's now double Brentford, Brighton, then blank, then Crystal Palace for Manchester United. So all of a sudden, double, then Brentford and Brighton...
How many points seriously think they're going to get, though, there?
Well, this is it. Away to Arsenal. I'm genuinely... How do you see that game going in game week 34 next week? Because United are Jekyll and Hyde. Even Norwich could put two past them.
Trouble is...
Arsenal all over the shop. What are we saying?
No, neither team's going to want to lose that game.
True, yeah.
That's a six-pointer between them for European football, isn't
it? You think that's got a draw written all over it, do you?
I mean, I would love that. Thanks very much.
As a Spurs fan, I'm sure you would.
But I look at those Manchester United fixtures, take the double into it, but also Brentford, they're looking all right at the minute. Brighton, well, we've seen them take points from both Arsenal and Spurs in the last couple of weeks. They're
United going to the Amex, you know.
It's hard.
Brighton already showed that they can be organised, and that's all you need to be against Man United, right?
Then they blank, and then it's Crystal Palace on the final day, who we've seen... They've been so much better under Vieira than I ever thought that they would be at the beginning of the season.
They're doing all right, aren't they?
So I look at those fixtures that Manchester United have got coming up, and I'm not compelled to invest, even after
even
Ronaldo's...
Even with a double?
Because I like... That double does not appeal to me in any way.
Okay.
It's not an attractive-looking double, is it? Chelsea and Arsenal, that is not exactly appealing. Now, I don't think Ronaldo plays both, for a start. He never seems to play twice in a week. Bruno Fernandes... depending upon the system that they play, can either be really attacking and therefore a great option, or he can basically play as a defensive midfielder, which is kind of what we saw this week. He was much more defensive than you would want him to be if you were invested in him.
I think when you saw that lineup come out against Norwich and you saw Jesse Lingard in it, all the Bruno owners went okay, does that mean he's going to be in that sort of Ronaldo support role like he played against Watford and Hull a few weeks back? Possibly not. And so it proved, right?
So I don't know. And I look at the defence and I'm not compelled to invest there either. I mean, if you're going to let Norwich score twice past you, then Norwich never score twice, do they really? I don't know. I don't like the defence. And the problem I have with the attack
sounded like a hard no from you then.
Well, the problem is, so how are you going to afford Ronaldo and Bruno?
They're difficult.
What are you going to do?
They're difficult.
I don't genuinely
Salah or Kane.
I don't genuinely believe that anybody, long-term, wants to sell Kane for Ronaldo. Now, could you sell Salah for Bruno? Well, yes, absolutely you could. But what Bruno do you get?
Yeah.
So, I'm not convinced either way. I'm more interested in Norwich.
It's interesting, though, because as FPL Shorts is saying, great comment again in the live chat, brilliant, he's saying... you know, reports last week in the news, and we all saw it, right? You know, Ronaldo, he's not part of the plans and all the rest of it.
Then he comes out
and then he's just like, right, if I'm not part of the plans, you're going to be missing this next season. Bang, here's a hat trick. And it's just like, he just knows how to play, doesn't he, this kid? He's pretty bloody good, isn't he? But I have to say, I agree with you. All the stats, and we poured over the stats on the FPL show a couple of weeks back, and we had this Man United and Norwich game in our sights for a while, didn't we? And we did it on one of the Ohana podcasts for our patrons, and we said, listen, if United are going to score a few goals, this is the game it's going to happen in. And if you're going to bring in a Ronaldo or a Bruno Fernandes in your free hit, this is the game you want them to bang, because you're not expecting too much at Anfield. And then, as you rightly say, the fixtures are, you know, at best mixed. And even with that double game week in 34, I have to say I agree with you. I'm not thinking that, you know, Arsenal and Chelsea are in any way easy fixtures for Manchester United, and I'm starting to wonder whether a few of their players, particularly the defenders, might start to be on the beach a little bit. I have to say, that defence at the weekend,
they can't be there.
It was poor. It was poor.
It was, but they can't be on the beach because they are in the position where they're about to be announced the new manager at some point over the next few weeks. That's going to happen, I'm sure. A bit like with Spurs and Arsenal.
Are you sure about that?
What?
We could do a whole podcast. I'm not sure that's going to be announced soon,
okay,
their manager.
Well,
I think
even
he's
if
looking.
It's not.
It's Ten Hag must be looking at it and going, I'm not sure about this. He must be.
Even if
he's got other options as well. Leipzig, is it Leipzig they're in for him? He's got Red Bull Leipzig are in for him. There's other people that are in for him.
The reality of the situation here is that they cannot afford to be on the beach because, one, they have not secured European football for next season, they've not got security of the Champions League. Or even the Europa League, they've not actually got security for the Europa Conference League yet. So,
do you really think those players want to play? First of all, most of those players aren't there next season.
No, I absolutely agree with you. And I don't think that they care. But the problem is that Manchester United, if they're going to attract quality players, they cannot be on the beach right now because they're going to have to qualify for European football next season. Ideally, the Champions League. I don't see that happening. So these players...
It's on though, isn't it? The way you and Arsenal play.
But they cannot go on the beach. So they've got to continue to play. My issue is that Ragnar... Ragnar? Who's Ragnar?
No idea. Isn't that the second Thor film?
Yeah, I think it is. The system's changing every week. The personnel on the pitch is playing every week. Like, who thought Syngard's getting a start this week? Not me, for sure. All of this stuff is changing all the time. You've got players sort of making random comments. You've got all this stuff in the press going on. These players cannot afford to be on the beach.
All right, okay. We've had a couple of comments in the live chat. Thank you, Mienna Sidon, for saying, Lee, calling Ronaldo a kid. Are you two not close in age? We are, I think. I'm pretty sure I'm possibly even older than Ronaldo.
Are you older than Ronaldo?
I don't know.
I'm
probably.
Look it up.
Yeah, probably. And then FPL Bateman comes in and he says, he's responding to Mienna's comment. He says, Lee, certainly at least 10 years older than Ronaldo.
Hang on.
Have a word with yourself, will
no,
you?
No, no, no.
FPL Bateman?
Oh, do you know what? I'm actually younger than Ronaldo. That makes
Are
me
you?
Feel really good about myself. You're older.
I'm sure I am older, yeah.
Yeah, he was born in February 1985.
Okay, so I'm a little bit older. But not 10 years, Bateman. Come on. Not 10 years. Thank you very much. So I need to start using some anti-aging. No, I need to start putting a bit of Just for Men in.
I mean,
what's going
Ronaldo...
on? 10 years older than Ronaldo. I'm not in my late 40s. Bateman, come on. I've taken that somewhat personally.
Well, I mean, Ronaldo does look younger than you.
Oh, come on. Right. Let's finish up these pictures.
I mean, I think Ronaldo looks younger than me. I'm younger than him.
He's in better shape than I am. Put it that way. Right. Finish up these fixtures, Sam.
Can we just have a 2 second before we move on? About...
Go on.
And I'm not... I know that people laugh at me when I say this, but genuinely, at 5.9 million, I don't think Pookie's that bad if you want to de-invest in your forward line.
Sure.
Between
what
now
else
and
are you
going to
go
season.
Up front? It's rubbish, right?
Honestly, I don't think it's that bad an idea. 5 returns in the last 6. The fixtures actually... So they've got Newcastle at home next, then Villa, and then they've got a double game week in 36, which I'm not sure who that is because the app just tells me it's a double. Can you... I can see.
I can go to
it's
the
West
fixtures
Ham and,
if you wish.
It's West Ham and on the beach Leicester. And then it's Wolves and obviously Spurs on the final day of the season. So
okay.
The fixtures aren't terrible, particularly if you want a benchable player. I'm not going to say any more about it because it's a waste of time. But genuinely, I don't think Pookie's that bad. I think there's worse forwards
you can
pick.
Oh, here he comes. Here he comes. Bateman, look, you don't look a day over 23. Lee. Don't you? No, you've made your bed, Bateman. Don't you even start trying to dig yourself out of that hole, mate. You've made that hole. You keep digging, mate. You keep digging. Get off.
Just
get off my...
some grey hair.
On. There's no grey hair in there, thank you. Not yet. I've got plenty of time till I'm in my late 40s. Thank you, Bateman, for that comment.
We're not talking about, we're just talking about you being in your late 40s.
Bateman is FPL Bateman. He says I'm at least 10 years older than Ronaldo.
Well, you're 47.
Yeah, apparently. Savage from Bateman. Absolutely savage. Josh is in. He's saying Pookie.
Is
on
he
my...
saying that you've...
No, Josh would never say... Josh wouldn't say that because Josh is a friend of mine, so he wouldn't say that. Pookie's on my bench boost is a consideration. Pookie. So people are starting to look at Pookie, Sam. 5th overall amongst all players in the game week so far for BPS. So did play very well against Manchester United.
I like
no
Pookie.
Doubt
I enjoy a Pookie party. Right. And let's be honest, we're probably not going to be able to have any Pookie parties next season. So get the most of it while you can. That's what I say.
Okay, we will skip over Watford 1, Brentford 2, other than to say well done to you for bringing in Christian Eriksen this week. We got the assist.
Oh, yeah, I did bring in Eriksen this week and
right
I really, really
deck.
Enjoyed
Very
it.
Good.
I was
Very
in the kitchen
good.
Making a banoffee pie with our little girl and Lee shouted out, Sam,
Ericsson assist.
Brentford have scored.
Very good.
Christian with the assist, and I had a little dance.
Very good. But just a quick shout out then to West Ham versus Burnley, a game that we didn't watch because...
It wasn't on the TV.
Newcastle was on TV. But what are we saying now about Mr. Weghorst? What are we saying about Mr. Cornet? What are we saying about these guys? Are we keeping? Are we holding?
Do I have to keep Weghorst for longer now?
Well, let's just have a look at the fixtures for Burnley, because Burnley fixtures, where are they in here? It's Wolves at home next, then it's Watford, Villa at home, Spurs and Villa away in a double game week, and then Newcastle at home. So it ain't looking too bad
for
Burnley.
So what you're saying is I have to keep Weghorst for longer?
Well, this is what we said a couple of weeks ago. Once you invested in him, the fixtures were good enough between now and the end of season to kind of hold, right? And it was a... You know, you kind of made your bed with Weghorst. Now he's scored. He's just given you a little taste. You know, not a massive haul, but he's given you a little 8-pointer. And he's like, don't sell me. He's just saying, come, don't you be thinking about selling me for Pookie. Give over. Come back into the Weghorst wagon.
I don't want to be on the
Weghorst wagon. Don't want to be there.
Nobody at Burnley wants to be on the Weghorst wagon. They've sacked Dyche. What was that about, by the way, on Friday afternoon? Honestly.
What's all that about? Why did you sack Sean Dyche now?
I don't know. We were at the cinema. And I went...
Just don't get it.
I think Burnley have just sacked... You went, what? It was a weird baffling one. Really bizarre. Then, of course, they've got a horrible injury to Westwood today.
Get well soon to Ashley Westwood. What a... Oh, horrendous. Dear me. Look, I haven't seen it and I don't want to see it. It sounded and looked awful. And Vlasic, bless his heart, from West Ham...
It was the pictures of him crying on the pitch.
He was a right old state, wasn't he? Because he was involved in the collision. Yeah.
So, look, the situation at Burnley, regardless of this result today... The circumstances and situation at Burnley aren't exactly making me think, yeah, this is a team I want to invest in. Yes, they've got fight stuff, so that...
Got a point at West Ham today. It's not bad, is it? It's not bad. Mr. Penn could have been 2-1.
Yeah, but Lee, do you trust Burnley?
Not really. That's why I haven't got Weghorst, but... Yeah, I mean,
I feel like
not
I'm
selling
stuck.
Ahead of those fixtures,
I feel like I'm stuck in a Weghorst-Burnley black hole,
right,
of which I cannot get out because the fixtures are fine,
okay,
and because he's also cheap, or not that expensive. So it's not like I really need to take some money out of him. Like, if he was 10 million, he'd be such an easy sell.
Yeah, okay. And for West Ham's part, they're in the same boat as Leicester, aren't they, in terms of their European journey is going great, their little European adventure. So
where are they in the league right now, though? Because they're still...
Well, they're still hovering around, aren't they? But you need to beat Burnley at home if you're going to have a chance of, you know, fourth and getting into the Champions League, I would suggest.
Yeah, well, they're seventh, so they're sitting just outside... Oh, no, is seventh a Conference League spot?
Not sure. I think so, yeah.
I think it's top four for Champions League, and then, of course, I think... Is it... Five and I don't know.
Something
but
like
they're
that.
Not that far out, but they have played a lot of games.
Yeah. Mm. I just think they're in the same boat as Leicester for me. Then if you've got them, then fine. But I'm not looking to invest, I don't think. Let's do our team, Sam. Let's talk about our teams and how we're getting on. We're doing mine first because it's an absolute shower at the minute.
15?
Yeah, it's bad. I've got loads to play, right? I've got plenty to play, so I'm kind of okay with it, including my captain Chris Wood has got to play again. I took a -4 this week, so I bought in Chris Wood and Cancelo for Doherty and Lacazette. Heard the rumours about Lacazette potentially having, you know, personal issues, and I thought, well, the fact that Arteta brought that up in a press conference was enough, I thought, for him to not play at least in the Southampton game, which was a game I thought Arsenal would win, quite frankly.
Was the easier of the two, right?
Yes. So, and I thought, well, if he's going to miss that, then he's got Chelsea, and then he's actually not scoring a lot of goals anyway. So I thought, well, why not have a punt on Chris Wood? And I think, you know, I sat here, I think, last week, and I said, well, I was considering doing Salah out, wasn't I, last week, to KDB, which is going to fund my Cancelo move from Doherty. And in the end, the Kevin De Bruyne injury, he had a bit of ice on his foot, didn't he, back end of last game week. That was enough for me to keep
Champions
Mo Salah.
League.
Yeah, in the Champions League, actually, in fact, yes. That was enough for me to not do that move. So I thought, well, that and the Lacazette move, I'll get Wood then and take a bit of a punt. And as I said last week, no regrets on that, because I've been hovering around 160 to 130 for weeks, absolutely weeks, and I want to get in the top 100k, and I'm not going to do that without taking a risk or two. And
this still might pay off.
This was a risk I was happy to take, right?
Still got another game to come.
And like you said before, I genuinely, of all the transfers I considered this week, Bruno Guimarães was not one of them, I don't think. But Chris Wood, you know, having scored, got the monkey off his back last week, you know. And I remember, I think I said to the Ohana patrons, or in the Slack or something, I think I said, you know, I know I'm going to be sitting here on this live stream saying, what am I doing, captaining Chris Wood? But, and I'll say it, what am I doing, captaining Chris Wood, because he's blanked. But Palace at home, maybe he gets something, I don't know. Newcastle at least look good. I just would like him to have been involved in the play a bit more. So listen, game week, crap so far. No doubt about it, crap, right? Kane, Kulusevski in that 1-0 defeat to Brighton. Ramsdale and Saka in the 1-0 defeat to Southampton. So Arsenal and Spurs assets, rubbish. Shaw and Wood for the Newcastle win, but it was Bruno stole the show there. And Madison getting nothing in that game. So, yeah, I've got nothing from the game so far. But I don't feel like I'm alone there. You know, a game week points currently of 11, right? Net 11. Absolute trash.
I've been worse, though.
My rank change is only minus 11%. So I feel like it's a bit of a trash game week for everybody based on that thinking. And I've still got plenty to go. In terms of transfers for next week, I think I've got to start looking at Chelsea. I think a lot of us will start to look at Chelsea.
You've not got any yet.
I haven't got any Chelsea yet.
No.
I don't know how I feel about Reece James at the moment, because in the last couple of games, he's played Reece James in that back three and he's played Azpilicueta out wide, hasn't he? And no doubt that does not provide... Obviously, James hasn't then got quite the licence to go forward and Azpilicueta hasn't got that pace. But when you play against pacey forwards, as they did against Real... And then they did against Crystal Palace today. Maybe you do want Reece James back there to go toe-to-toe with the likes of Zaha and the pacey players that Palace had today. Now, in the fixtures coming up, let's just have a look at these fixtures coming up for Chelsea.
So obviously Arsenal this game week. Still.
Well, they've got to play Arsenal, yeah. So we've got one more chance to scout them before we make any decisions. But then they've got West Ham and Manchester United. Now, United have got some pacey players, no doubt about it. West Ham blessed with a lot of pace.
Well, it depends what they're doing by that point, doesn't it? In terms
possibly.
Of prioritising the league, who they're playing, Jarrod Bowen is probably the most pacey.
Everton in 35, blessed with a lot of pace.
I mean, they've got Dele Alli, so...
36, Wolves and Leeds. You know, these are teams that on their day can give Chelsea a game. But my point is, I don't see loads of pace there. In 37, maybe Daka, maybe Iheanacho might be enough to give Tuchel that headache.
But
I can see Reece James playing... back out wide in that devastating wide role more in these fixtures coming up. Would you agree with me or would you not?
Yeah. And also, Chelsea obviously exit stage right of the Champions League.
Yes.
So that has an impact on my thinking, because my concern with a lot of teams at the moment, particularly Liverpool, Manchester City, Leicester, to some extent West Ham, priorities, where are they? Now, Liverpool, yeah. Man City have to prioritise everything. For Chelsea, they were a club that were kind of like probably guaranteed the Champions League through the league anyway. But if they were still in the Champions League, I think that's where the priority would have lay. Now, of course, that there isn't that to contend with. So the priority is going to be that FA Cup final. But they've got to get a fully fit, fully ready team to that point, which means prioritising league in order to get there to that point on May the 14th. So... I'm quite pleased as a James owner to own him right now.
I think he's a hold. No, I wouldn't worry about
panicking.
The fact he's been in that back three, because
panicking.
He's. I think that's
just
been because
starts.
Of who Tuchel's been playing, like
yeah,
the opposition.
And he's also not started the last couple in the Premier League and come on for a 1-point cameo, which was frustrating. But that was also around the Champions League, and he was returning from injury and all of that. So I'm hopeful now that without that he gets more regular starts.
And you know what he can do on his day, no doubt about it. So I think if you were going to go and invest in the Chelsea defence ahead of this run, which I am considering, I still think Reece James would be the one I'd go to. It would probably be one of the Liverpool boys that makes way. I don't know. But then, you know, we're playing pretty well at the minute, so possibly not. But let's see. But then I have got an eye on Mount, no doubt about it. I have got an eye on Mount. And I want to see how Madison plays against... Yeah, he's a little bit cheaper, isn't he? And I just think Mount is... He's finding... Certainly today when I watched him against Palace, he's finding the right times to get into the box and to make that penetrating run into the box. And I think he's timing them well at the minute, and they're starting to find him in those positions. So I would have no problem sacrificing either Madison or Saka. I think my challenge is that Saka, I don't think is quite enough, I think, in terms of money.
Okay, right.
Because I think Mount is... I might have that a bit wrong, but maybe Mount is a little bit more. Maybe I have that in my head wrong, I don't know. But one of those two, or to be honest, Kulusevski, or any of those could go. Although I do think Kulusevski still represents decent value. Had he got sent off in that game for that elbow, then he would make way, no doubt.
Mount's
7.6. Mount is 7.6, and Saka is 6 point something, isn't he? So you need a bit of money to get up there,
right?
Don't
know what you bought him for.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, anyway, the rhetoric is you'd need a bit of money to get up there. Ditto Madison, actually. So if I do want to bring in Mason Mount, which I do absolutely have my eye on, then maybe, you know, if I was to bring Robertson down to James, that would free up the bit of money that I would need to then move Maddison or Saka up to Mount. It depends how much I want to invest in Chelsea. Yeah. It depends how much I believe in this Chelsea run that's coming up. But a reasonable looking double to start with, and some good fixtures after. So I've absolutely got my eye on them. But elsewhere in my team, nothing to discuss, right? Nothing. It's rubbish. It's nothing. And I'm down to 184k, which is complete and utter guff and not where I want to be. But plenty of football still to go this game week. But Team Sam, on a bench boost this week, talk us through it, because it's Green Arrow and it's looking okay-ish.
I don't really want to speak because, to be honest, I don't want to jinx the Green Arrow because I've not seen one of them for about 3 years. So yes, there is currently a Green Arrow on my team. It's a relatively nice one. I think I ended the last game week at 303k.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a relatively nice Green Arrow. I think
loads still to go as well, right?
Loads still to go, but no captain still to go.
Yeah, because the
captaincy did not go well. However, I am frustrated by it, but also not surprised by it. And also, there was nobody I fancied to do anything else. So I wouldn't have gone anyone else. And I laid my bench team out exactly how I would had I not bench boosted, so we can actually genuinely see whether it is a success or a failure.
Okay.
There's a few frustrations in there for me. The Livramento coming on for a one-pointer. Well, I'm pleased he came on for a one-pointer, but I'm blimmin' annoyed he didn't play the whole game because that would have been six. The West Ham late goal annoyed me because obviously Tarkowski was on for a clean sheet, so that would have been a bit annoying. But anyway, I think the rest of the team looks okay. I'll be interested to see what happens in midweek. But if we can... my hope with the bench boost was to get 50k in rank rise. That was my hope.
Okay.
So if I can end this game week around the 250-ish k mark, I'll consider that to have been a successful bench boost.
Good. Okay. All right. Well, good to be back on track after a few weeks of going off the rails back on track with a 30-pointer.
It can easily go wrong
again.
My transfer in this week finally paid off as well, because like you mentioned earlier, I bought in Ericsson for Fraser this week.
I wouldn't say there's any captains that are going to hurt you, though. I think Saka and Salah are reasonably captained, and you know, you've got both of them. So I don't think the Kane captaincy blank is going to hurt you too much.
The captaincy armband was much more differentially spread this week.
Yes,
it wasn't massively standout one that there is normally. So yeah, no captain's going to really, really hurt, particularly not around my rank. So yeah, I mean, we are where we are. I think I just have to now hope. I mean, we got through, as far as I know, we got through the FA Cup fixtures without any injuries to James, Cancelo, Trent and Salah, which was my key concern with the bench boost. I needed all four of those to survive.
That's true. A bit of a risk in that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was watching both games today thinking, oh my God, please all survive. And one yesterday and one today. Please all survive. They all did. So yeah, hopefully we get starts for them all come the midweek fixtures.
All right. Moves for next week? Any thoughts?
Likely.
Reece James already in place is the one I'm thinking of getting.
I've got Reece James in play already. Probably likely another Chelsea player to add to the ranks.
Who got your eye on then from a Chelsea perspective?
Well, it's gonna be budget related again, isn't it? Because it's gonna be what I can afford to do to make that move happen easily. Mason Mount is the standout alongside Havertz, but because Havertz is that little bit more expensive, he's that little bit more difficult to find because you may probably making two sacrifices, and I'm not sure. I mean, Weghorst, I'm happy to sacrifice, to be honest.
Well, if you're happy to sacrifice Weghorst, can you find a bit of money to get the Timo Werner? Is he one to have a look at?
I don't think...
Played all right again today?
I don't think...
Got an assist in the cup?
I can't find that much money. I'd have to find a lot of money. But I could sacrifice him down to Pukki, and then that gives me the money I need for a Chelsea midfielder out of Barnes or Saka, depending upon what happens in midweek.
Okay.
But of course, there's plenty of football still to come, and you know, it only takes a big injury to one of my expensive players. Heaven forbid we don't see that, but you know, we can see players like Salah, like Trent picking up a knock, Cancelo, and if that rules them out, then of course then there's an easy sell there as well. So we're watching the midweek fixtures very closely
okay.
to see where we land.
Oh, very good. All right. Well, listen, the Pukki
party.
Green Arrow, yes. So far. Up to 267K, so very good. And the Pookie Party might be on.
Might be on.
For next week, so very good. All right, well, let's talk about what we've got coming up this week, Sam. Have we got any podcasts or shows or anything going on this week?
No, but we have got Fantasy Football Fest.
Ah, yes, I should have put that on the graphic. Of course I should. Yes, we've got the Fantasy Football Fest coming up on Friday the 22nd, isn't it?
Very much looking forward to Fantasy Football Fest on Friday. If you are in the UK, hey, do you know what? Even if you're not, if you can get on a plane and get to the UK by Friday, Fantasy Football Fest is... Honestly, it was a fantastic evening, wasn't it, when we did the last one back? Seems like such a long time ago now, but it was at the game we won deadline when Arsenal played Brentford on the first game of the season. That's how long ago it was. Of course, the one in January got cancelled because of COVID. But yes, so that's happening in Waterloo Arches on Friday between 4 and midnight, I believe.
Are tickets still available?
Tickets are still available, okay. Yeah.
How do you get a ticket?
It's ff-fest.co.uk.
Okay. Twitter. Is there a Twitter?
You can go on Twitter and follow the link from Twitter. There's also articles on FFS and on Fantasy Football Community as well. So have a look at one of those. Follow the link, buy a ticket. I think they're £20. It'll be a great night. They'll be doing...
You're on stage doing a bit, aren't you?
I'll probably.
Yeah.
I told Johnny I'm not doing it unless my arrow's green.
You don't want to get up there with Az, though, do you?
Az isn't coming.
Is he not?
No. So don't worry, I won't flirt with him at any point during the night.
Well, I was just thinking anyone that's on stage with him is going to be feel very inferior from an FPL perspective this season, aren't they?
Lim will be there, but Az is on a stag do.
Is he?
So I know he can't come. Yeah, you and him both. But yes, it'll be a great night. Ed's going to do some FPL comedy. There's going to be some experts
talking. Oh, I forgot about
talking.
That. Ed's
there's also going to be another quiz. And Johnny's quiz last time was excellent.
Very good, yes.
So yeah, if you are free on Friday, come along. If you are anxious about coming along because you don't know anybody, then send us a message. Johnny's really good at organising for people to meet. I think last time we did a ladies meet beforehand in case you're a lady and you don't want to come in by yourself.
Yeah. If you're a guy and you don't want to go in by yourself,
message the guys at Fest. They'll put you in our direction and we'll come with us.
Duncan Crawford's going, did you know?
Duncan's going.
Go on, Duncan. Look forward to
Duncan
seeing you.
Duncan and I have spent so much time on Zooms together over the last couple of years talking about his team, and I am literally buzzing to meet Duncan. We'll meet Duncan on Friday. But yeah, if you are in London on Friday or can come to London on Friday, then it'll be lovely to meet more of you. It is a great night. It's a lot of fun. Next week's busy for us in terms of actual FPL content, but this week, full on fest.
Full on fest. All right. Well, listen, guys, thank you for joining us here on FPL Family. Again, we're kind of mid-game week again, as we tend to find ourselves. So loads of football still to play in game week 33. So if you're down in the dumps like I am, if you're up in the 30s or the 40s like Sam is, just know that anything can happen. It can all still change. Chris Wood can still bang a hat-trick against Crystal Palace.
Oh my God, if Chris Wood bangs a hat-trick, you...
It's not going to happen, is it? Let's face it.
Why?
It's just because it's Chris Wood and I've picked him as captain. It's not going to happen.
Weirder things have happened, Lee.
Weirder things have happened. There's
do you know what you need?
It. Go on, what do I need?
An Easter egg.
I do need an Easter egg. And on that note, let's go and stuff our face with more chocolate as we've been doing all day. Guys, happy Easter. Enjoy the rest of Game Week 33 and we'll see you either at Fantasy Football Fest in the flesh on Friday in Waterloo, or we'll see you back here for another FPL Family live stream 8:30 on Sunday night. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.